وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. أما بعد، all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator and our sustainer, and may the special and choicest peace, mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. My respected friends and elders, indeed we are very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised us from the ummah of our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, gives us an opportunity to remember Him, to worship Him, to make His ibadat. That is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the ability to stay away from any kind of wrongdoing, that is a great favor and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody once asked one of our Salaf Salihin, the Shaykh, please explain to me the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh said to his murid that you commit a guna, you commit a sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to feel regret, remorse and guilty for what you have done. That is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the tawfiq to make tawbah. So you then make tawbah and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. That is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala then becomes happy. Because you did something wrong, you made tawbah, you ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with a banda and servant of his that lifts his hands towards him and he says, "Oh Allah, I regret what I have done something wrong, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah." Istighfar, seeking forgiveness, one of the greatest ibadats a person can do. So Allah ta'ala becomes happy with such a person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him, and Allah Ta'ala then converts his sons into good deeds. He says, that is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we enjoy many ni'mats, we enjoy many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must learn to express our appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trying to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability. And if we were to slip up, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, in repentance, asking Allah ta'ala, because through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with a person. In the ayat of the Quran which I recited in the opening khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the creation of the heavens and the earth and the system of this world, that inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah 12 shahran fi kitabillah. That Allah ta'ala has created this world such that there are 12 months in the year. And in the 12 months, 4 of those months are regarded as sacred months. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned the 4 sacred months. Dhul Qadah, Dhul Hijjah. Three months are consecutively in the month of Muharram. Dhul Qadah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram. And the month of Rajab, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa rajabu mudar alladhi bayna Jumada wa Sha'ban. That the month of Rajab, which comes between Jumada and the month of Sha'ban. So these are the months which are regarded as sacred. Sacred because during these months, any ibadat a person does, it is multiplied and a person gets a greater reward for it. And if a person commits any kind of guna and sin, then there's a possibility of that person being punished even more severely. But these months are such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them special. When it comes particularly to the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make a dua that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That oh Allah grant us barakah and blessings in the month of Rajab, and grant us blessings and rahmat of yours, your mercy in the month of Sha'ban, wa ballighna Ramadan, and allow us to reach the month of Ramadan, you know, with afiyah, so that we can enjoy the month of Ramadan. Our aslaf used to say that the month of Rajab is the time to plant seeds, and the month of Sha'ban is the time to water those seeds, and the month of Ramadan, that is the time to harvest that crop which has been planted. You know, you take an example of a person who wants to run the marathon, the comrades marathon. He can't just come up on the day and say, I will run the race. He will never survive. He will never make it. But there's months of preparation, months of preparation. And as a person puts himself through that difficulty, through the practice and through the various routines, on the day, he would be able to do his best. Some people do better than others according to how they've planned, how they've trained, how they have made themselves, you know, the endurance and what they could do. Similarly, with the month of Ramadan, it is there for everybody to take. But depending on what effort and what sacrifice and how much a person puts into it, according to that, each person will take. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew our attention to that we are close to the month of Ramadan. We are close to the month of Ramadan. And we need to start thinking about it. We need to start preparing for it. You know, making sure that we have our routines in place. We have done everything. We have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah, for forgiveness. Anything that needs to be set right in our lives, we do all of those things. And through that, a person can achieve and a person can get the best out of the month of Ramadan. The month of Rajab as well, brothers, as we know. And alhamdulillah, we hear many, many talks. And you know, there's information which is available everywhere. And many of us know, so as a refresher, we understand that the month of Rajab also is a month which is synonymous with the Mi'raj of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we know that the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary feat. It was something which was very special, which was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a very difficult period that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured. It was after, as we learn from the various books of seerah and the books of history, that it was after or during the time of Amul Huzn, the time that period and that year which was referred to as a year of grief and sorrow for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Abu Talib, who was a supporter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's support throughout Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's period as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she also passed away. Then there was a boycott which was set against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which reduced them to such a state where in order to survive they had to consume leaves of trees and sometimes suck on skins of animals in order to survive. So all of those difficulties they went through, then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the opportunity of visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an achievement which no other person in history before or after ever experienced. Special only to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, that subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. And Allah ta'ala says that glory be to Allah who took his servant Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this ayat, the word abd refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to be an abd and a servant, that is one of the highest levels of iman and closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a person can get. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many times in his life expressed this, that I prefer to be a servant of Allah. A servant of Allah instead of being a rich person, a wealthy person, I prefer to be a servant of Allah. And one day I have something to eat through which I can make shukr. The other day I go hungry on which I make sabr. And that was the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always took his meals while sitting on the floor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took his meals sitting at the table. He always took his meals sitting on the floor. He slept on a bed, yes, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the quality of abdiyat, you know, bringing oneself down to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more a person humbles himself before Allah, the closer a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala refers to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the word abd, that we took our servant on a journey by night. And we know the difference between Isra and Mi'raj. Isra was the first part of it, from Makkah Mukarramah, from Haram Sharif to Masjid al-Aqsa. That was the night journey. And from there after the Mi'raj, the ascension, which was up to the seven heavens and beyond, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala mentions this, مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ, that we have given barakah and blessings to its surroundings, the surroundings of Masjid al-Aqsa. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, and we took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our servant, on this journey in order for him to see certain signs of ours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to those people who are close to him, the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, they were shown a world that other people did not see or experience. And the reason for this is so that it could cement their belief and the yaqeen and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say seeing is believing. One is that we have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is on the unseen. But when a person sees something, عِنُ الْيَقِينَ, and you see something with your eyes, it becomes even easier for a person to believe that and accept it. So the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wasalam, through the wisdom and hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were shown certain things that general people did not see. So when they presented their message of da'wat and a call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had a certain level of yaqeen and conviction in what they presented to people, knowing absolutely well that whatever they say is absolutely true and there can be absolutely no doubt in it. So Allah ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his journey, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a Nabi of Allah, would see certain signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the kitabs that as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended and went up to the various levels of the heavens, at the first heaven Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, accompanied by Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam took permission before entering that space of the heavens. And then he met Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, introduced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two significant things. One is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted with salam. Greeted with salam. And then the response also was in a similar way. Then at the same time, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam testified to the nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam saw the souls of martyrs on the right of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and the souls of the wretched and evil people on his left hand side. In the second heaven, Sayyidina Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Third heaven, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth heaven, Sayyidina Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Fifth heaven, Sayyidina Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. The sixth heaven, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Seventh heaven, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam ascended the various levels of the heavens. And in each case, it was the same. Jibreel alayhi took permission. The greeting was with salam, and every Nabi of Allah testified to the nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he was leaving from there, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam began to cry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why is he crying? He said, I see a man who has come after me, what was able to lead more of my own people than I was able to lead them. He was able to lead more of my own people than I was able to lead. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended further. It is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown Jannat and Jahannam and various other things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyidina Malik, who is the doorkeeper of Jahannam, and described him as a person with a cheerless frowning face. With a cheerless frowning face. That was the description of the face of Malik, who is the doorkeeper of Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered milk, a vessel with milk, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered a vessel with wine. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam selected milk and he drank it. Then it was told to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have selected fitra. We have selected fitra. Now the word fitra, it is very difficult to explain in English itself, but it refers to the natural disposition of every person. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when a child, kullu mauludin yuladu ala al-fitra, that when a child is born and the child comes into this world in a state of fitra, So the natural disposition of every person when they come into this world is that they are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that you have selected fitrah. And had you selected wine, your ummah would have gone astray. So we see the difference between the two as well. That the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given as glad tidings that by your choices, your ummah will also continue after you in the same line, calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala will keep him strong and steadfast on deen up to the end of time. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown two manifest rivers and two hidden rivers. The two manifest rivers that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw was the Nile and Euphrates. And it is mentioned that this was symbolic of the area in which the message of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will eventually settle. Now if we look at that area between the Euphrates and the Nile, that area has the largest concentration of Muslims. And also it was an indication that towards the end of time also, in this area also people remain strong and steadfast despite the difficulties and the challenges that they'll face at that particular time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep them strong and steadfast. It was glad tidings that given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw certain groups of people in Jahannam. One group which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw, they had like snouts of camels. And they were given red hot rocks which they consume and then issued out from their backs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who are these people? It was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these are the people that usurp the wealth of orphans. These are the people who usurp the wealth of orphans, and this is the adab and that is a punishment. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a group of people with huge and large bellies. Their stomachs and their bellies were so big that they could not even move around. They were just thrown on the floor, or fallen down on the floors of Jahannam. And these people were being trampled upon by the people of Fir'aun when they were admitted into Jahannam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who are these people? It was said to Rasul of Allah, these are the people from your ummah who indulge and consume usury and interest. These are them. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a group of people that they were offered two pieces of meat. The one was a fresh, tasty piece of meat and the other was a rotten, smelly piece of meat. These people selected the rotten and smelly piece of meat. Who are these people, O Jibreel? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that these are those people who indulge in adultery and in zina and in fornication. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a group of women who were hanging by their breasts, licentious women hanging by their breasts in Jahannam. These are because of the type of condition that they were found in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw various groups of people, many, many different type of people. And each of these groups Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw is referring to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went further up. Allah ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the gift of salah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to and fro, you know, asking for a reduction. We eventually came to 5 daily salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us. But besides the gift of salah, which is the most important aspect of Mi'raj, and the most important amal and ibadat that any Muslim can do, any ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can do, there are various other lessons that we learn from Mi'raj itself. And while the month of Rajab, coming close to the month of Ramadan, after a period of difficulty and challenges Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this glad tidings and he was able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tells us of a very important lesson in life. And inna ma'al usri yusra, that when we experience difficulty, difficulty is not the end of everything, but sometimes it's a beginning of a new and a better life for a person. So if a person endures this in a spirit in which it should be, like mentioned the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for a mu'min is never a loser. A mu'min is always a winner. Irrespective of what situation a believer in a mu'min finds himself in, he's always a mu'min. In asabatu darra'a sabara, that if any difficulty comes his way, he makes sabr on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the difficulty. He makes sabr and he expresses his sabr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his patience to Allah ta'ala. He endures it with the spirit in which is meant for a mu'min, a believer. Fakana khayrallah, that is good for him. When asabatu sarra'a, and if any good comes his way, he makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his life between shukr and sabr always makes him a winner, a believer.
In good times, he remembers Allah Ta'ala, gives thanks to what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had given him. In difficult times, he makes sabr, and he remembers the good which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had given him. A mu'min's life, if he has a correct attitude, then in every circumstance, he will always be a winner. A mu'min is never a loser. And that is one of the very important lessons that we learn also from Miraj itself. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we look at the history itself, and then we look at the ayat which were revealed. Now, very quickly, and we don't have time also, that when we look, the opening ayats of Surah Bani Israel, that speaks about the Isra of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then after that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then speaks about the misdemeanors of the Bani Israel, and how they had gone astray, and their behavior. Although they were a nation that was given lots of good and blessings by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then at the end of that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reminds us, "Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam," that this Quran, it is a guide for those people who remain strong and steadfast, reminding people that those who turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they are the people who will always succeed. Now, when we look at the arrangement of these ayat, brothers, it is not something which was coincidental, but it is something which was deliberate, giving a message to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, particularly at that time of difficulty that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was experiencing. That at that time, the Jews, they had the stronghold of the special office which Allah Ta'ala had given them, and they would brag and boast about it to say that we are the chosen people, the people that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had chosen over everybody else. And when the people of Medina came to call Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they also came with messages that were given also by the Jews that reside in Medina Munawwara, that the last prophet would come, he would reside in Medina Munawwara, and like all other prophets came also from the Jewish families, similarly the last prophet will also be from our family, and when he comes, then we will progress and we will continue. So all of this has been mentioned. But Allah Ta'ala in this ayat gives us a very, very subtle indication to say that this office of Nabuwat and the office of this high, this closeness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and of success which was enjoyed by the Jewish people up to that particular time, this office is going to be transferred to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his followers. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, he will be a person who will have the superiority of both places, of the Haram in Makkah Mukarramah as well as Masjid al-Aqsa itself. And through that, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will make it a period of success. And those people who will follow him, those are the people that will attain success as well. And we make shukr and we give thanks to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has blessed us with this as well, brothers. You know, we must reflect. We must reflect on our lives, reflect on the kindness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, reflect on the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, reflect on the generosity of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has blessed us with. Life is there, it passes. Every day that goes is gone, we can never bring a single second back. But every moment that we make valuable by turning to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and bringing value to that, that is the moment that we'll always appreciate. And Allah Ta'ala gives us these moments as ummatis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we can always turn back, we can reflect on our past, and we can move forward in such a way that we always look forward to coming closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You know, sometimes telling a person that life is about that, you know, sacrificing for Allah, it is something which is considered to be, you know, something which is trivial. Many times we think that this is something which is very simple. We want something which is more of a high level. You know, something we can relate to better, and which resonates with us in a better way. But the simple truth and the fact of life is, the more simpler we become, and the way, if we go back to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we will move forward as an ummah and as an individuals as well. We make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make us true recipients of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam during this month of Rajab. That Allah Ta'ala gives us barakah. Barakah in terms of our spiritual life, that we can come closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, gives us good health with afiyat, and we can reach the month of Ramadan to harvest the blessings and the ni'mats of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to understand and to practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.